Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm often asked what our bodies are going to be like in eternity. And it is impossible for us to fully comprehend what that will be like. But of one thing we can be certain, neither our first parents nor we will receive brand new bodies. As there's a one-to-one correspondence between the body of Christ that died and the body of Christ that rose, so too our resurrection bodies will be numerically identical to the bodies we now possess. In other words, the redeemed, whether Adam or Eve or you or me, will not receive brand new bodies, but our original bodies totally transformed. While orthodoxy does not dictate that every cell of our present bodies will be restored in eternity, it does require continuity between our earthly bodies and our heavenly bodies. In fact, to inform our thinking in this regard, the Apostle Paul provides a seed analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As a seed, he says, is transformed into the body it will become, so too our mortal bodies will be transformed into the immortal bodies they will be. While the blueprints for our glorified bodies are in the bodies we now possess, the blueprints pale by comparison to the buildings they will be. And while Paul speaks of spiritual bodies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he does not intend to communicate that we will be resurrected or recreated as spirit beings. Rather, our bodies in eternity will be supernatural. They'll be spirit-dominated. They'll be sin-free. Supernatural, not simply natural. Holy Spirit-dominated, not dominated by hedonistic sensations. Sin-free, as opposed to being slaves to sin. And although we continue to struggle against sinful proclivities in the present, we eagerly await a metamorphosis that will transform our natural bodies into bodies that are immortal, imperishable, and incorruptible. I speak about this very thing in my brand new Creation Answer book, which is going to soon be available in bookstores everywhere. It's going to be released in June, and we're going to have them for our constituency before the general market has an opportunity to purchase them in bookstores. In fact, I give a sneak preview or a sneak peek at my Creation Answer book in the current Special Origins edition of the Christian Research Journal, in which I answer 10 urgent questions about origins. But there's so much more in this edition of the Christian Research Journal. An article by Jay Richards on thinking clearly about God and evolution. An article on creation accounts and ancient Near Eastern religions. Did the ancient Israelites simply borrow their creation motifs from pagan neighbors? And so much more. Again, it's all part and parcel of a special Origins edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's available for your gift to the ministry. Please be generous. You can order online at equip.org. You can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, fresh back from a trip to the capital of Iran, Tehran, spoke at the University of Tehran, another university, Alma University, a university that specializes in sociology, and had many other very intriguing opportunities. In fact, I'm thinking about taking my journal account of what I did step by step during that trip and making it available in a future edition of the Christian Research Journal. It was truly one of the most mind-blowing experiences I've ever had. One thing I found out is just about everything you learn in the West about Iran is simply wrong. I couldn't get a visa to get into Iran from the U.S. government because supposedly far too dangerous, but I did get into the country, was allowed in on a semi-official visit through the Iranian government. But it's very interesting because even as I was getting ready to fly from Dubai to Tehran, I was told by the Emirates airline, a very prestigious airline, that they couldn't fly me into Tehran unless I would sign an indemnification form, which would hold them harmless if anything happened to me. When I actually got to Tehran, I found out that it was one of the safest places I could be. I walked the streets of Tehran in the middle of the night and didn't fear any danger. Crime is very low. And in many ways, it's an interesting society. You don't see pornography anywhere. You wouldn't see a Victoria's Secret ad anywhere on a billboard. Very, very interesting country. A woman can walk the streets late at night, and I saw many of them walking the streets late at night without any fear. By and large, it is a society in which women are protected as sisters. So there are a lot of commendable aspects to Iran. Of course, I studied and wrote about Iran, at least in the sense of the ancient Persian Empire, starting with Cyrus the Great and then Cambyses and Darius and Xerxes and so forth. I write about this in part in my book, Has God Spoken? But this is a country with a rich heritage. Once it was the Bronze Ancient Empire, bronze symbolizing beauty and strength. It was the largest empire in the ancient world up until the advent of the Roman Empire. So again, a lot of interesting things took place during my trip to Iran, and certainly a very relevant subject in that it is forefront in the news. But there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of disinformation. One thing I can tell you, and this is apart from politics, their president, their supreme leader, and so forth, I can tell you for sure, the people themselves are hospitable and showed me great kindness during my time there. And I'm talking about people of every stripe, people that didn't know me, who treated me with great hospitality and kindness and care. So it was an incredible experience, and again, I hope to share a lot of that experience with our listeners and with the readers to the Christian Research Journal in the future. Stay tuned for that. Right now, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines and talk to our callers. First up, Ron, Prescott, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
That's very interesting about your going to Iran. I would encourage you that after it's published in the Research Journal, a few months later, maybe make it available on the internet.
Yeah, good suggestion.
Yeah, my question is concerning the prosperity gospel. I've seen a lot of preachers on TV and heard them on the radio and in the pulpits say that God is obligated to give you more back than what you give in this life. And as I've studied this, with the key verse being Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where the Lord says, don't lay up treasure in heaven. Don't lay up treasure on earth, but lay it up in heaven, is the idea is we're not to give to get more here. We're to give to get our rewards in heaven. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. In fact, you said it in a very profound and eloquent way. There's nothing in the Bible that suggests that we are to give to get. We are rather to give with a grateful heart. because we have been given the free gift of eternal life. And I love what you said about eternity. I mean, the basic idea, the worldview of Christianity is that we live for eternal verities rather than mean earthly vanities. So we are giving because we have first been given, and we are seeking to extend His kingdom as opposed to our own. Certainly, as you point out, the prosperity teachers like T.D. Jakes say precisely the opposite. They think it's ridiculous to suggest that we shouldn't give to get. In fact, he was so bold as to say that if God only gave us back what we gave in the first place, we'd just be breaking even. And he said that's ridiculous in the extreme, and therefore we should give to get. In fact, our staff just pulled up a clip of him doing that very thing.
I want to pray over your seed, and it would be ridiculous for me to pray that God would give it back to you. Because if all he was going to do was give it back to you, you ought to keep it, and then you just have it. That's ridiculous. If you got $100 or $1,000, and you're going to give $1,000, and I tell you, well, God's going to give you the $1,000 back, well, you just broke even. You could have kept the $1,000 and not gone through the trouble. Come on, church folks. But God is going to give you some more on top of that. And as you sow it, I dare you to say it again. Oh, my God. We're about to get ours in here. I don't know what you're getting out there. Well, we're about to, somebody shout, increase!
And what is particularly disturbing is that T.D. Jakes now is being championed by all kinds of erstwhile evangelicals who are lauding his ministry and his teachings and so forth. But this is a man who is teaching the word of faith, give to get gospel, in the most blatant fashion and mocking those that do not agree with his particular deviations from essential Christian doctrine.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that clip before. That is astounding. But I've even heard preachers, Baptist preachers, make the comment that God is always going to give you back more than you give him in this life. And I just don't see it.
No, I mean, you look at what happened. I mean, all you have to do is read the great Faith Hall of Fame chapter and realize what happened to the greatest saints in history. Those that are a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, they suffered vilification and persecution and poverty, and yet they looked beyond their pain to the eternal promise of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So the whole notion of the give-to-get gospel, it works very well, sells well in a slick packaged form in the West, but doesn't work very well when you go to impoverished places in the world.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. And of course, there's no telling what can be accomplished in our generation if we may but catch the joy of contagious giving. Not giving to get, but contagious giving. Not only would we be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick. T.D. Jakes thinks this is ridiculous, but it's not ridiculous. It is reliable Christian theology. And then, like our forefathers who founded great centers of Christian education, who established countless hospitals, who funded myriad relief organizations, we may as yet leave an indelible mark on our generation. There's a big difference between giving to get and giving to extend His kingdom. So when he says, speaking of T.D. Jakes, how ridiculous it would be if you got $100 or $1,000 and you only got what you gave back. In other words, you gave $100, you got $100 back, you gave $1,000, you got $1,000 back. And as he just said, you might, if that's true, you might as well keep it yourself. Well, the truth of the matter is no. If you give to an organization so that the gospel might go out to the ends of the earth, that's extending His kingdom, And it's not ridiculous if you never got a penny back, because you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, as Jesus said, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. The health and wealth gospel sounds palatable, but it is the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. T.D. Jakes has platforms in evangelical churches on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. His message goes out. It's not confronted, but we confront it here, because truth matters. Not only does truth matter, but love matters. And when we communicate the truth in love, we're doing it not to get even with T.D. Jakes, but to warn the world about false doctrine.
Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken?, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. From Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time. When Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org.
or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support. If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I can't tell you how important it is for you to give generously, particularly at this month's needs are so significant. Every year during this particular time frame, it becomes very difficult for us financially, and sometimes you teeter on the balance between falling backwards or going forwards, and we need people to tip the balance towards going forward with power and persuasion in strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. This ministry is so necessary, but so dependent on people just like you. You're part of the team. If you've never taken the step of giving to a ministry, please consider supporting this ministry. You're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. We'll go back to the callers. We have calls flooding in from all around the country and incredibly interesting questions. Let's go to Steve, Seattle, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Hank. My question is, can you give me your take on the teachings of Kenneth Hagin? I heard you speak a few weeks ago about Kenneth Copeland, and I have family members who hold up both of these teachers. And if you know, and maybe you can give some of their overlap in their teachings or how they're connected. I have very little exposure to either of them, and am disturbed by what I heard you say about Copeland. And so I'm also curious about Hagin.
Well, Kenneth Hagin actually was when he was alive, he was called Dad Hagin, and he was best known as the father of the modern-day faith movement. So people like Kenneth Copeland actually mimicked or imitated the teachings of Kenneth Hagin. And despite the fact that he was excommunicated by the Southern Baptists in 1937, Hagin's span of influence was incredible. Virtually every major prosperity preacher was influenced by his teachings. And he was a real sensationalist. I mean, he boasted of alleged visits to heaven and hell, out-of-body experiences. He claimed to have died and been resurrected on three separate occasions. He had all kinds of personal conversations with Jesus Christ, and sometimes Christ confessed that he couldn't do certain things unless Hagin gave him permission and so forth. Of course, he taught that just abominable doctrine that Jesus Christ had to be born again, and also said that man was created on terms of equality with God, and he could stand in God's presence without any consciousness of inferiority. So he put human beings on the same level as God. But I think the most abominable teaching, as I just mentioned, was this notion that he proposed that Jesus had to be born again. And the idea was that Jesus Christ on the cross became sin. He was the very personification of sin. And therefore, he couldn't finish the work of atonement on the cross. He had to go to hell and in hell be born again. In fact, here's how he put it.
Why did he need to be begotten or born? Because he became like we were, separated from God. Because he tasted spiritual death for every man. And his spirit and inner man went to hell in my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He's tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death. Jesus is the first person that was ever born again. Why did his spirit need to be born again? Because it was estranged from God.
So the basic idea again is Jesus goes to hell, he's born again, he becomes the first of those who are redeemed. It is an abominable teaching, as I mentioned. And Hagen, while he was alive, used to talk about critics like me and say that God was going to kill critics like me. And in fact, we did a Christianity in Crisis audio release, which is still available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And you can hear Hagen and Copeland and Hinn and so forth not only pronounce death and judgment on me, but on my children as well. But these men need to be countered because they're communicating abominable heresy under the guise of Christianity.
Okay, thanks very much, Hank. Appreciate your time.
You got it. And I wrote about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, all the details and documentation available there. You can get the book on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters C. Or I'm back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David next. David is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's listening on the web. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Welcome back from your trip.
Thank you.
I just got my copy of the CRI Journal, so I'm looking forward to diving into it.
Oh, great.
My question had to do with Mormonism and working with Mormons and common cause issues. The reason this came up was recently I was listening to a program where some minister was speaking about a few years ago when Ravi Zacharias spoke at the Mormon temple, and I knew about that, but I never did hear the messages that Ravi spoke, and he was kind of critical of him doing that, and I was wondering if you knew about those talks and the purpose of those and your take on that whole issue, why he did that, and, you know, basically what you thought of the whole idea of speaking in a Mormon temple or the whole idea of working with Mormonism.
Well, I mean, I would commend anybody that would take that kind of a platform and use that platform as an opportunity to share the truth and life and love that only comes through genuine Christianity. If we are those who say we can't use that kind of platform, then we couldn't have our influence felt on major television shows. Sure, we want to use every opportunity to be a witness. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. When I was in Iran, I used platforms in mosques to communicate the message of truth and life and hope and love that comes from a biblical worldview. I used it to counter false ideas from ideas that would create social anarchy in the West to ideas with respect to Zionism, conspiracy theories, and these kinds of things. So I was on the platform with people that were diametrically opposed to my worldview, but I used that as an opportunity. Now, if I'd go on a platform like that and I would say, yes, Islam is the true religion, or Orthodox Judaism was the true religion. By the way, I was on a platform in Iran with two Orthodox Jews, Rabbi Rosenberg and Rabbi Weiss. But I in no way adhere to their worldview. But this is an opportunity to take deviations and use them as springboards or opportunities. So when people have that kind of an opportunity, they're also obligated then to speak the truth and speak the truth in love.
Okay. Do you think, like pertaining to what Ravi did, do you think there was anything there that could have caused any confusion to anyone looking into that, wondering if Ravi would have agreed with anything with Mormonism by way of essential Christian doctrine?
Well, honestly, I do not remember the content of what he said. We certainly would have research material on that, but I do know of Ravi's reputation of being a straight shooter.
Yeah.
Of communicating the gospel clearly, being able to communicate Christian worldview clearly. So I'd be highly suspect of anybody that suggested that he didn't use that platform in an appropriate way. But I can't remember the content off the top of my head. Again, we would have that research information at the Christian Research Institute. But again, I would certainly give him every benefit of the doubt because his life and ministry has been credible, it's been competent, and has been mightily used of God. So rather than listen to things very quickly, you'd want to give someone like that the benefit of the doubt.
Well, thanks a lot, Hank. I appreciate you and your ministry greatly, and look forward to hearing more about your trip in the coming days.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. I was just there visiting my son-in-law, who's a professor at the University of Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing, sir?
Good, thank you.
I do also appreciate you and your ministry, and I respect your work very much so, and I just want to start off by saying that.
It's very much appreciated.
It seems inconsistent to me, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't mince words, but if a person becomes a Christian as a result of choosing to believe in Christ, in the finished work of Christ, why then can that person not choose to walk away from salvation, choose not to be a Christian? And I'm not speaking about desire necessarily as much as I am about ability.
Yeah. Well, some Christians believe that they can apostatize. In other words, they can walk away from the faith. So that is a view that is certainly acceptable within the pale of Orthodoxy. I don't happen to hold that view. And the reason is the question's a hypothetical. From my perspective, if you are in fact born again, then the very one who justifies you also is the one who sanctifies you or daily conforms you to the image of Christ. And so as you're progressively sanctified, you love him more and more. And the thought of walking away from him becomes more and more like a fantasy, like something that's completely unreal. I, for example, couldn't imagine walking away from the Lord, and my relationship with him is at one level now, but imagine what it's going to be like a year from now or 2 years from now. That relationship is going to grow. Very much like happens in an earthly relationship, where you learn to love and cherish a person because you spend time with that person, and then that love is solidified over time. And the ultimate expression of that will be in heaven, where we'll forever be able not to sin. And so just as it is impossible in heaven to walk away from the Lord, because we're going to have then requisite knowledge of God, so too, as we're progressively sanctified, I would say that it is impossible to walk away from the Lord. And there are good verses that would augment what I have said, and that is God is able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you before his glorious presence without fault. And also, where Paul in Ephesians says that we are marked in him with a seal, it's the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Note the words carefully, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance into the redemption of those who are God's possession. So in those basis of verses like that, I would say that what you've posed is a hypothetical that's not going to happen to someone who's genuinely be born again.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? I agree with you. I believe in eternal security.
Yes.
But the reason why I believe that is different from why you do. And basically, when Jesus said in John 15:16, you know, you did not choose me, but I chose you.
Mm-hmm.
And the analogy you gave just a minute ago, I fall in love with my wife, and I love my wife. And I can't see ever leaving her. I mean, why would I ever? I mean, I love her, she loves me, we have a beautiful relationship. Why would I ever leave her? But I have the ability.
For some reason or other, I just lost the caller. Certainly a technical issue. It's kind of fortuitous, I suppose, since we're coming up with a station break. Wasn't intentional on our part. Appreciate your perspective. Sorry I didn't get the whole thing. Maybe you can call me back at a later time. We will be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today.
Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. Where did we come from? What were the origins of life on Earth? At the Christian Research Institute, we believe how you answer the question of origins is such a vital apologetic topic that we're offering a special theme issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring a sneak peek of Hank's forthcoming work, The Creation Answer Book. In his article, 10 Urgent Questions and Answers About Origins, Hank answers questions such as, does the fine-tuning of the universe point to a sovereign creator? Did Adam and Eve really exist? And is animal suffering a consequence of Adam's sin? To receive this sneak peek of the Creation Answer Book, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. This creation theme issue of the Christian Research Journal is available for a donation, so get your copy today. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hanegraaff is very excited about his latest work, The Creation Answer Book, because the origin of life is the apologetic issue of our time. But the book itself won't be on the shelves for several months, so we've produced a sneak peek in a special creation edition of the Christian Research Journal. In this creation theme issue of the journal, Hank tackles 10 of the most urgent origin of life questions facing Christians today, with answers rooted in both science and the Word of God. Hank explores such questions as, did Adam and Eve really exist? Is animal suffering a consequence of Adam's sin? And is Earth a privileged planet designed for scientific discovery? In appreciation for your ministry support this month, we'll send you a copy of this creation issue of the Christian Research Journal for a donation. So go online to equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we return to our phone callers as well. Next up is Robert. He's listening in Kansas on Bud Radio. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very intrigued about your trip to Iran. And in my impatience to read about it, I have a question regarding, You talked about you were on a panel, and it was interesting. You said you talked in mosques I guess I assume that you were probably at a university and speaking there to more liberal audience, but did the subject or the situation of Pastor Yusuf Nardacani ever come up? And if so, what was the reaction?
It didn't come up, and I simply wouldn't have the information to be able to weigh in on it if it did come up, because I simply don't have the knowledge base to speak on why he was sentenced. Was it for turning his back on Islam and for converting Muslims to Christianity? Was it for rape or extortion, as some have contended? I simply have no knowledge in that area, but it does raise an interesting question, which I'd like to do further research on.
That is?
Beg your pardon?
Well, I didn't hear the question. What is the question that it raises?
No, it raises an interesting question. I would like to do more primary research on this and find out what I can find out, but this is something that I don't know the details on in any way that I could speak in an authoritative fashion on.
Okay. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate your program and look forward to reading about it in the future.
Yeah, and you're raising a very important issue, because pretty much the whole country is Shia Muslim, and to convert to Christianity is a very, very serious offense there. So if you're a Christian, that's one thing, but to try to convert someone from Islam to Christianity is a very dangerous proposition in the country of Iran, and much more should be said about that and will be said about that in the future. So I really appreciate your question bringing up this very specific example, which bears some primary research on the part of the Christian Research Institute. We'll go back to the phone lines now and talk to Adriel, listening in El Paso, Texas, KELP. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Hank.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
My question is, I received some biblical counsel from an old friend right before me and my husband got married in November. And it didn't sit right with me. It was really strong advice. And I've been in the church my whole life. And so I did my own lots of research and prayer on it, and had a peace before we got married from the Lord, I believe. But basically what he was saying is that from his belief about the Bible and everything behind the original languages and the audiences and everything it was meant for, that if you marry someone who's been divorced, that it equates to adultery no matter what.
Well, it's simply not true. If you look at the teachings of our Lord, he gave specific examples in terms of exception, and that included adultery, and primarily focused on adultery, but it is also augmented by the notion of desertion by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But all of that is overshadowed by the teaching of the Bible that divorce is always a function of the hardness of our hearts, and it wasn't like that in the beginning. And therefore, from a Christian perspective and in a Christian worldview, the greatest good is always to seek reconciliation and restoration. And therefore, as Christians, we must always be willing to forgive. Now, it takes two people for forgiveness to take place. One has to be willing to forgive. The other has to be wanting to be forgiven. Otherwise, again, reconciliation can't take place. So the notion that you bring up, that if you are married to someone who is divorced, you're living in adultery and these kinds of things, is not necessarily true. The other thing I think is dangerous about this kind of an idea is someone gets divorced, and improperly so, and then gets remarried, and then wants to, because of that teaching, get a divorce again. It just compounds the problem. If you're remarried as a believer, you can't unscramble the egg. What you have to do now is be faithful and fruitful within that relationship, and trust that God will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. There are certain things you just can't undo, and to get a divorce again would just be to compound one problem or one sin with another.
Yeah, and my husband had done everything he could to reconcile with his ex, you know, and she wasn't having it. So I did a lot of research because this pastor's ideas seemed very well researched, and he told me that the only exception noted in the Gospels was having to do with the notion of betrothal and everything for the Jewish audience, and it just didn't sit right with me, you know, so I prayed a lot about it and asked a lot of other people, but I just wanted to see if you could shed light on it for other people that receive that kind of pastoral counsel before they're about to get married or whatever.
Yeah, well, here's the bottom line. I think it's really good to get pastoral counsel, but you want to make sure you do that in a healthy, well-balanced context. We have published an article on this very subject. It's called Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage, and it's available through the Christian Research Institute. Lays everything out from the perspective of biblical teachings and a biblical worldview. And this would be an article that I would really commend to you. And of course, when you read articles, you want to test all things in light of Scripture, because that's the final court of arbitration, not the article. And then hold fast to that, which is good. But I think the article would be very helpful to you.
Mm-hmm. And do you think this is a common stance for more legalistic pastors, or...
Well, it certainly can be. And, you know, certainly I would be, if I was a marriage counselor, if I was a pastor in a church counseling two people, I'd want to know a lot about the details, a lot about the background, a lot of what's going on, so I could give reasoned counsel. In this case, I don't have all that information at my fingertips because I just started talking to you. But I think the principles are laid out very clearly and concisely in this article, and I think it's a great help to the body of Christ to read an article like this and get the idea of what the parameters are. And if you hang on, I'll send out a copy to you. We'll go right back to the phone lines now, talk to Dawn, listening on the web in Winter Springs, Florida. Hi, Dawn.
Oh, hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. I am so grateful to God to be able to talk to you. I love you with all my heart. I've been listening to you for like 17 or more years,
oh,
so
wow.
I'm so grateful. Mr. Hanegraaff, my mom just passed away on Sunday, and you actually had a chance to meet her. I know you meet a million people, but in Orlando, you got to meet her. Her name was Paula, and you prayed for her, and you even mentioned her name on the radio, and I thank you with my whole heart for that. I wrote you a letter, a very long one, but I just, that meant the world to me, and I feel so overwhelmed and so in shock still, you know. She was suffering for so long, but still had the hope that, you know, if it was God's will, he'd heal her, but he took her home and to heaven on Sunday, and I was just wondering if I can ask you something. I know that you say that, and forgive me, I may say this wrong because I'm super nervous, but I know you say that, like, heaven's with a person in a place, and that right now when we're absent from the body, present with the Lord and with Jesus and in relationship with him, and I was just curious, like, is right now, as our soul is with Jesus, my grandma passed away a year ago as well, who was also, my mom was my best friend, my grandma was my best friend. And I was just wondering, her spirit get to be with, see my grandma, or are we just awaiting the resurrection of Christ, or?
Yeah, I think that we can deduce on the basis of Scripture that they're having a relationship and fellowship even now with one another and with the Lord.
Oh, yeah? With our loved ones that passed on?
I think that we can certainly surmise that from Scripture, and I do want to say my sincere condolences to you. It's a very difficult thing to lose a loved one. I remember what it was like to lose my father, and that scar never goes away. And my mother always says every single time I talk to her, there's a big hole in her heart, and she misses him so much. So my condolences.
Oh, thank you so much. Just like your mom said, my heart feels so broken. I'm so grateful that she's with Jesus and finally pain-free, but at the same time, I feel so, so heartbroken. It's every little, it's everything. It's everything, you know? It's just, I always was hoping that she'd see me get married, and, you know, I'm actually 30, I'm 35, but I struggle with some health issues, and so I got to be home with her all the time and take care of her and be with her all the time. So it's, you know, I was with her 24 hours a day, so it's just so difficult. I was wondering, Mr. Hanegraaff, can I tell Jesus to please tell her how much I miss her and how much I love her? Is that okay?
Well, you can bring everything that's on your heart to the Lord. He loves you. He cares about every hair that falls from your head, and certainly would be concerned about this issue and the brokenness of your heart. So yes, absolutely. Talk to the Lord about everything that's on your heart, and the Lord knows and cares, and He's been there. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows all things, and He's going to love you through it. But you know, Don, the best is yet to come, because one day you will be reunited with your mom and with your grandmother in a brand new heaven. You know, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. There'll be no more sickness, no more cancer, no more devolution of the body. We will be perfectly whole, and that's what happened when Jesus. What happens when Jesus returns and puts all things to right, and then you will know your mom again, and she will be perfect. Her DNA will flower to complete perfection. She'll be a real physical person. Her body will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Her soul will return to her body, and you will have fellowship, not only with your mother, your grandmother, but I'll have fellowship with you in eternity, and will, more than that, have the opportunity to love and know and touch and experience our Lord.
Oh, Mr. Hanegraaff, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for those special, for those beautiful words. And just like, thank God for Jesus. That's all I could say. Thank you, Lord. You know, because if this was all there is, I just cannot even remotely handle it. Thank you so much. And I don't even know what to say. I know I want to, if I can ask you something else super quick, is that okay?
Well, I would love to answer any question. Maybe we can talk off the air sometime. Unfortunately, I got 37 seconds and the show is over. I am going to stay, but again, let's make sure that we can be in touch. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of resurrection. That's our hope. That's our future. That's our destiny. Again, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, be patient. If you want to call, ask your question. Here's the number to call for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force,
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.